Welcome everybody to our online session in this online Metta retreat. And as usual, we will start the session with the sharing. So anybody who feels like sharing something, something small, something big, something funny, something sad, something whatever. So please go ahead.
Yeah, I think I will share.
Please.
Yeah, so actually this past couple of days, I've not been putting that much time into the practice. But today I actually put some time, and I really felt energized actually by the practice. So I'm not sure actually whether metta can be used also as a form of like when you're tired to gain more energy. That's it.
Thank you, Elroy.
Okay, I'll go. So I've been experiencing a lot of frustration, a lot of anger, also towards Ariya and towards Aya Viragnani, according to the days and moments and situations. Mental rumination. And this morning there was really a difficulty to be in touch with a neutral person. So I tried to go to the benefactor, but that was also unreachable. And finally I realized that there was simply a lot of torpor and also sloth. And it was very clear that there was these hindrances were there. And I realized that through all these days, all these hindrances were there. And so I went to myself, and that was suddenly very easy. So this morning I remained with myself during the daily situations. And then when I came back home, I was chopping onions to do a risotto, and I realized that there was sadness. And so with the sadness, very clearly and easily, there was this going towards a wish for myself to be free from suffering and in peace. And that was very immediate, and it's not usually very easy for me to be in touch with the wish for myself, but this time it was very clear because of the suffering. And so today I've been staying with myself. There was no desire to go and no possibility for the mind and heart to go outside, but there was the need to be with the wish for my well-being or for the well-being of myself. So, oh, yeah, there was also a lot of doubt. I forgot the doubt, which is one of the fantastic hindrances which I experienced also in Sicily. Aya Viragnani knows that very well. And yeah, I think I've mentioned almost all of them. Yeah, maybe also irritation. So I think I covered all five the hindrances. And maybe a little bit of love for myself. This is about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Donatella. Now we have René, please.
Yes. Good afternoon, everybody. Today I've been surprised by the harshness of my judgments. Of course, I know that I judge people, but I was really surprised how harsh I can judge. And the other thing that I wanted to tell you is that my neutral person isn't really neutral. I think favorably about him. So I wonder if I should have another neutral person for the time to be. That was it. Thank you.
Thank you, René. And as you know, here we do not answer questions, but you can put this question at the end of the session. And then we have Monique.
Hello, everyone. I want to share something with you, and I hope that my English is good enough for that. I wished today for the neutral person, Metta, and I want to tell an experience of the January retreat where I also wished a neutral person, Metta, and she lives in the Central Living Project where I live also as well, and I wished her, and may you be well, happy and peaceful all day long. And I was very concentrated, but it was very dry because it was a neutral person. I couldn't feel much heart for her. But during the day, the heart came more and more. And I met her a week ago, and I stood and talked with her and her little child, and firstly about her and then about me, and she asked what I'm doing these days, and I said I participate in a metta meditation retreat, and I told her what was the purpose of that, and I never, almost never tell anybody who I refer the metta to, because I know it's for opening your own heart and purifying your own heart. But I told her that I did metta for her 24 hours. And I told her my wishes, and she said, oh, that is sweet. And What day was that? Just I mentioned the day, and she said, wow, the day stood out. Everything went smooth that day. I had a very nice contact with my child and with my husband, and all the things that I do went smooth. So I was wondered. That was so, and the neutral person I chose this time was a fellow yogi from this group. So I wish her metta with all my heart. So I hope she had a nice day. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Monique.
Yeah, I can continue. This morning after the meditation, I listened to the Dharma talk, and then I fell asleep, and I slept for 2 hours or so. And then when I woke up, because I only have in the morning time for the meditation, I felt, oh no, I couldn't do all the metta meditation. But I had luckily I woke up enough early that I could go to the meeting with the dentist. And it was so nice with the dentist to have a neutral person so close to you, and you can wish metta. It was really great, 1 hour of metta at the dentist. Yeah.
Thank you, Helena. Thank you everybody for the sharing today. And now I hand over to Ayavira Gnani.
Thank you, Maria. It's so touching to hear everybody's challenges, everybody's successes. It's beautiful honesty that the practice brings. It's very real, this practice. It's very relational, but also with ourself. And we begin to see so clearly the bubbles we live in. And I want to speak a little bit about these challenges today, because they begin to be so much part of our experience in the mental retreat. So much of what we see is how we seal ourselves off from the world, either in subtle ways or very, very obvious ways. And in working with the neutral category, this category of strangers, this sense of disconnection can be particularly clear. So really, that's the first kind of bubble. It's the bubble of the known. You know, we live within this world that we know directly, either our own experience or the experience of people we are reactive about. So either we love them, like them, appreciate them, or know them at all well. But perversely, also the bubble of the known, which is the kind of person that annoys us or has caused us harm. Any person for whom there's reactivity, these are known entities. And it can be really challenging to connect with a stranger, with a person for whom we have no story, for somebody who's a stranger. And we begin to see in the metta practice how we depend on stories and relationships to fuel this sense of connection. And so indifference in this category of the neutral person can be so disheartening and a real obstacle for us. And it's really a habit a lot of us have. Unseen, unacknowledged. It's part of what allows us to move through a crowded world. Let's face it. If we live in a city, a big city particularly, and we're a lot on public transport or in a crowded street, we've developed a sense of personal space around ourselves, which amounts to a kind of indifference. You know, we just don't go outside of that much. We feel safe in there. I remember coming from a completely different culture, traveling to England, where this sense of personal privacy and personal space is very well developed in public transport. But I was from Hawaii, and you know, we have a very different culture of aloha and meeting people and connecting with people. And I remember being on a train somewhere in the Cotswolds or somewhere, I can't remember exactly where, but I was on this train and sitting in this block of seats where there was sitting side by side and facing the seats in front of you. So the seats were all facing in the same direction. And I started this conversation, or actually, a little shame to say, I jumped into somebody else's conversation, which is something actually we do sometimes in Hawaii, even with strangers. I see reception at God was so disconcerting for me. It's like, oh, I really did something I shouldn't have done. And really what I did is I tried to pierce through those bubbles of safety. There's a real sense of safety within a bubble to a lot of strangers. So we have this personal space that is inviolable. We don't want people to come into it. And we don't come out of it. And it's very habitual. Excuse the noise. And so the bubble of what we know and what we feel comfortable in is very habituated. And it's also very ego-based. So we have a bubble of what we have direct experience of. It has something to do with me. We like that juiciness. It's just other people, no, that stranger over there, you know, there's nothing we can land on. Nothing the ego can land on. And we can reflect on that line in the chant, to all is to myself. And it feels like a nice idea. But we do, we can feel really lost there. It's like there is nothing to connect with. And the further somebody is from our direct experience, the more we can see that. So somebody of another culture, another gender, another age, it can be very hard to pierce through that bubble of the known. So that's the first kind of bubble, and the bubble that we meet when we deal with the neutral category. And what can happen as soon as we begin to really develop metta for people, even if we can't connect easily, is that bubble disappears. So the familiar stranger becomes more and more familiar and less a stranger. Which is why I personally don't, I use it because of habit, but the word neutral is actually gets in the way of this. The cultivation of metta, we think, oh, this person isn't neutral anymore, maybe I'm doing it wrong. But no, that's just metta. That's what it does. It pierces through that bubble of indifference and disconnection and habitual not knowing. It pierces through that bubble of the unknown. The second kind of bubble we meet in a different context, and it'll be more and more obvious tomorrow, the next day. This is the suffering bubble, the bubble of difficulty. And as all of you know by now, you know, this practice can be so bumpy. We can be faced with all those hindrances, and they're right in our face. So close. And the stronger the difficulty, the stronger the pain, whether it be mental, physical, emotional. Our ability to see outside of that experience, to see beyond that experience, can be really curtailed. Our experience contracts into this small space. My pain, my grief, my anger, my annoyance, my whatever. And the more we identify with that difficulty, with that pain, with that anger, with those habits, the stronger the walls become. This bubble of suffering, this is a big part of the barriers that the Buddha speaks of in the text. The barriers that are broken down with the metta. Because the ego finds a perverse security in bubbles, even if they're painful ones. And these bubbles are not our entire experience, of course, but nor are they universal experiences. But they're so much of what we face in this practice. And what to do, you know. First, of course, recognition. Recognition of what is there. So I think when people share what is coming up for them, when people share the difficulties, this is a reflection of clearly seeing what is present in the moment. And what that does is we're no longer slaves of those difficulties, no longer slaves of that suffering or those habits. That already pierces through that bubble. So recognizing pain. And understanding process, understanding how habit and the habits of the ego are so powerful, and how the metta works to dissolve those. And I want to speak a little bit to this because I think it's really important. A lot of the ways we live in bubbles of pain and bubbles of disconnection, our basic habits, they're nothing really more than that. And habits of thought become habits of identity. If we don't pay attention to them, they can be very deeply, deeply rooted. And the question to ask ourselves, do we want to be victims of habit or architects of habit? This is a choice. And it's a choice we face in each moment. If we want to be free of these bubbles, if we want to be free of disconnection and habits of anger or deeply rooted conditioning, the simple moment-to-moment attention to how we feed that habit matters a whole lot. And this is, of course, the work of the practice. Everything has a consequence. Every moment has a consequence. And as Ariya said so clearly last night, quoting what the Buddha said, one moment of metta is worth 100 pots of rice, the dana of 100 pots of rice. It's incalculable. Because of this chain of cause and effect that we don't really pay attention to, but it works all the time to create our experience. One moment of metta, one moment of inclination to metta, is creating a future. We are then the architect of a metta habit rather than a habit of disconnection. So choosing to focus on what we are creating rather than on what we are living with, as every thought comes from somewhere. We're living out the results of past habits. And how we are responding is what creates future habit. So start now in this moment to break out of those bubbles. Even if the mind is full of kilesa, even if you can't really connect, incline in the direction of metta. Plant those seeds of kindness and they will bear fruit. Feeding connection, not disconnection. Every moment matters, every phrase matters. Might not be so obvious in a moment. And this is where patience comes in, and understanding that this process is an instant. There's no such thing as instant meditation. I want to quote something that I love a lot. It's from the Bodhicharya Vitara, a beautiful Tibetan text that speaks a lot about the need for patience. There's no austerity, Shantideva says. In this quote, he says, there's no austerity to be compared with patience. Steep yourself, therefore, in patience, in all ways, urgently, with zeal. And I love the paradox of this, because we think of patience as quiet, something we just have to rest back in and deal with, we don't think of patience and zeal together. We don't think of urgency and patience together. But if we are passionately engaged in this work of patience, the unbinding of these habits, these bubbles we live in habitually, will happen. We can trust that. And so many of you have described that trust, saying, oh yeah, here I am again. But I just inclined to metta anyway. So if you bring energy to anything, bring it to patience and that quiet moment to moment, calling the mind back to kindness, however you can. It's good enough. So let's sit quietly with that. Going to the practice now. And radiating metta today to the second neutral person. So taking a moment before we begin to see who comes to mind for you. First thought, best thought. And Aria will ring the bell in about 5 minutes. I'm going to turn off my microphone because it's very noisy here, as you might have noticed. It's just like we have enough challenges in the practice without fireworks. So, but choosing this neutral person, and for about 5 minutes at the beginning of the practice, staying where it's easy for you, either with this previous neutral person or any other category, it's been easy. And when you hear the bell, going to this second neutral person and cultivating metta for that person in the very same way as you've done already for everybody else. So sit back, relax, relaxing the mind and body, finding that place of connection and beginning to cultivate metta where it's easy. So for the next 24 hours, please continue with this second neutral person. And I know some of you are doing other things, radiating metta for yourself, for example, or staying with one of the previous categories. And please, if you've spoken to us about doing that, please continue to do what you're doing. Really trust yourself there. And in, of course, the general activities, feel free to play with the practice. Really use it as a way to develop and increase the momentum of the metta and the momentum of that inclination towards metta in general activities. And in this particular category is really noticing what bubble you happen to be living in out there in the world and seeing what you can do to connect outside of that, even silently without letting anyone else know when you're doing it, or through speech and action if that's appropriate. The world is a huge field of practice, so really play with it and have fun with it. So thank you for your practice, and really with heartfelt well wishing for a beautiful deepening day of practice. I'll turn us over to Aria for the chanting and the questions you might have.
Yes, thank you, sister. And maybe I pick up the question that Helen put forth in the sharing about the neutral person. And she said that she noticed that, you know, it was not completely neutral. And maybe your question has already been answered by what Ayavira Jnani has said. You know, a complete neutrality is almost impossible. So this word neutral is actually not so helpful for many people. Better to say a stranger. Because, yeah, with people you've never seen, you know, when we see them first, meet them first, there is some bias. There is, you know, a slightly leaning into, oh, that's a kind person, or, you know, a slightly positive attitude, or there is a slightly negative attitude towards this person. So Helen, do not worry about that. As long as your person fits into the description of this category, you know, not knowing the person very well, seeing them sometimes, or, you know, so then just continue with this person, that's fine. Yes, Donatella, please.
Yes, I chose a second person. He is an artisan. He works with shoes. I've seen him only a couple of times. And so at the beginning, it wasn't easy to go to have a heartfelt wish for his well-being. So what happened was that it was as if I imagined, I physically kind of joined him, met him, and but it wasn't that I was imagining I was going there, it was more an inner feeling of us being together. And so there was a wishing for both of us, may we both be well, free from suffering, and happy. And this was quite, yeah, it went on by itself for a while. So I was wondering if it's okay, or if it's more like not a strict, typical, well, please comment.
Yes, I will, Donatella. Thank you. You know, there is traditional instructions of how to cultivate the metta, but then, you know, we find other entrances into connecting to the metta or the cultivating the kindness. So when you say, you know, first of all, kind of imagining that you're going or we're together with this artisan making shoes, this is a valid way. You know, we also sometimes say, take a few moments to bring up this person in your heart and mind. To imagine maybe a situation when you were together, or maybe a mental image pops up. So, you know, this would fall into this category or instruction. And then going to do the metta by wishing, may we, myself and this person, be well, free from suffering and happy. And, you know, if you resonate with this and the practice is going well or the metta wish is truly there, so then that's fine, you know, that's your entryway into the metta. And from here, you might go to that you drop yourself and that you just wish this artisan to be well, free from suffering and happy. So in this way, you know, going to that place where you just have one person as the object of your metta meditation.
And this is what actually I did. After a little while, I dropped myself and I stayed with him, and it was easier.
Yes, very good. So you have found your way of doing it and being able to do it for this person. Good. Yes, Witzke, please.
I have a short question. Maybe you already told about a neutral person, if it has to be a person. Yesterday I chose a person, but today there was a squirrel in the garden from out of winter sleep, and I had a difficult day and I felt my body was more at ease to pick the squirrel as a neutral person. Is that okay to do, or do I have to do it only when I see the squirrel or for the groups of beings?
Thank you, Witzke, for this question. Yes, you know, as I said, there are outlined instructions in the scriptures, which we follow more or less, you know, the Visuddhimagga with these different categories of people. And then after we have gone through the categories, opening it up to groups of people, groups of living beings. Or as we have already given the instruction, you know, in the more free-flowing metta, in day-to-day activities, whatever being is there, people, animals, or whatever. So in regard to your question, you know, just choosing a squirrel for the formal meditation for the neutral person or being. So, you know, the traditional instruction is for a person, for a human being. But, you know, I would say it's fine to take an animal, a squirrel, in your case, as the object for, you know, this category. Yeah, do it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And maybe I want to pick up what Elroy said in his sharing, which was also kind of a question. As far as I remember, he said that there was sleepiness or when he was practicing, but then with the practice of metta meditation, it brought energy into his mind. It was energizing. So can one do the practice of metta to boost energy when one feels sleepy? I see you're nodding your head, so I think I captured your question. So of course, you know, if you know that the metta practice brings energy into your system, mind and body, of course do it. You know, it might not be always the case and for everybody, but in your case, yes. And of course, just go ahead and take that. Linda, please.
Hi, this is maybe not so much a question as I just wanted to say thank you in a way, is that when I was doing this for the neutral person and wishing them to be well, happy, and at peace, I had a much stronger sense of what that meant because it was not connected to anything I'd thought about before, I think. And it just made me realize that how rare it is to be thinking and wanting somebody to be happy. You know, like, anyway, so it was much stronger and more understandable to me than it had ever been before. So anyway, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Linda, for this sharing. And yes, that's an outcome of the practice, you know, that something one can notice. Good. So if there is no more question, we can go on to the metta chants. We will begin with the four boundless states in English, and that's on page 3 at the bottom. So let's start. I will abide pervading 1/4 with a mind imbued with loving kindness. Likewise the 2nd, likewise the 3rd, likewise the 4th. So above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself. I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world, with a mind imbued with loving-kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. I will abide, pervading 1/4, with a mind imbued with compassion, likewise the 2nd, likewise the 3rd, likewise the 4th, so above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself. I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world, with a mind imbued with compassion, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. I will abide, pervading 1/4, with a mind imbued with gladness, likewise the 2nd, likewise the 3rd, Likewise, the fourth, so above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself. I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world, with a mind imbued with gladness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. I will abide, pervading one quarter, with a mind imbued with equanimity, likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, so above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself. I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world, with a mind imbued with equanimity, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. Then let's go to page 6 at the top. That's the Frieden, the chant, the song, the canon in Swiss German. And you might join in as a canon, or those of you who are two at home, you can also do it as a canon. Begin. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Now let's go to the first page. At the bottom, we have the four aspirations. And today we will do it with some variations. So Sabi Sata, Avira Hontu, can be replaced by Sabi Panna. When you look at the chant above, you know, it starts with sabbe satta, sabbe panna, sabbe buddha, sabbe pugala, and so on. So the second time we chant it, we take sabbe panna avirahantu. The third time we do it with sabbe buddha, and the fourth time we do it with sabbe pugala. So then let's start. Sabbe satta avirahantu. Sabbe satta abhyapacahantu. Sabbe satta anigahantu. Sabbe satta sukhiyatanam pariharantu. Sabbe panna avirahantu. Sabbe panna abhyapacahantu. Sabbe panna anigahantu. Sabbe panna sukhiyatanam pariharantu. Sabbe buddha avirahantu. Sabbe buddha abhyapacahantu. Sabbe buddha anigahantu. Sabbe buddha sukhiyatanam pariharantu. Sabbe pugala avirahantu. Sabbe pugala abhyapacahantu. Sabbe pugala anigahantu. Sabbe pugala sukhiyatanam pariharantu. And as a last chant, let's go to page 2 and we do the metta chant in Burmese one time and then the sharing of merit in Burmese 3 times. And we really can bring up all the goodness, all the metta, all the other beautiful qualities that we have cultivated today or yesterday, for those of you who it's early morning. So bring up this goodness and then joyfully and happily share it with all beings, which in itself is a metta practice. So then let's start.
Alon tatawadvi jamma jabasi chanda jabasi. Gosiya ginja basi, seisiya ginja basi, asasa ayaya asimpi jabasi. Ahmiya, 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 yuda moja bakolo, sadu, sadu, sadu. Ahmiya, 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 yuda moja bakolo, sadu, sadu, sadu. Ahmiya, 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 yuda moja bakolo, sadu, sadu, sadu.
indeed, a heartfelt sadhu, sadhu, sadhu for your practice, for being part of this online metta retreat, for being this beautiful metta sangha for each other. So with this, we say goodbye to you. Today there are no group interviews. So happily, patiently, with this sense of urgency, continue your practice. And we see each other again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.